But right now in my evolution, I identify less with religion and I connect more with the idea of spirituality. And for me, the way that that manifests is, and I did a whole episode on this very early on in the podcast, is through any activity that is a flow state. Any activity where I lose sense of time and thought and I'm just like beautifully and wonderfully in the moment. Welcome to the Live by Design podcast. I'm your host, Kate House. Join me each week as we come together as a community, sharing how we strive to live each day with intention, with a special focus on cultivating joy and practicing gratitude. Together, let's live by design, not default. Hi, friends, and welcome to this week's episode. This week, we are going to continue our conversation centered on the Institute for Integrative Nutrition's Circle of Life exercise. For those of you who've been listening for a while, you're familiar with IIN. It's the school I completed my health coach training through, and the Circle of Life exercise is a tool that I use in my own personal life, as well as one that I use with my clients in order to very easily and quickly ascertain where you are in life. It identifies 12 areas that are pretty fundamental, that are foundational to living life vibrantly. And it's just this easy tool that can give you a snapshot of where you are. So you'll very easily see the sections of your circle of life exercise where you're excelling and the areas that maybe need a little bit more care and attention or purpose poured into them. And sometimes it's just a reflection of the season of life you're in. Right now, my social part of my circle of life exercise is not nearly as strong as it once was when I was taking yoga classes in person and getting coffee with friends in person and having play dates with our kids, just because of the nature of the season that we're in right now. And in my joyful corner this week, you'll actually hear how I'm working on that section of my circle of life exercise, but it's not a judgment. It's just a way to see where you are and to help give you some guidance as to where you want to go. Now, if you haven't listened to any of the other episodes in this season number 2 of the Live by Design podcast, which is all circled around the circle of life, that's totally fine. You can listen to these episodes as a standalone episode. You can also go back and listen to them in order if you would like to, but you can absolutely just listen to this episode alone and not feel lost or confused or anything like that. But before we jump into today's episode, I want to share with you the Apple Podcast review of the week. It's a 5-star review and it's titled, "I Feel Happier Listening Every Time." And it reads, "Every time I listen to an episode with Kate, I instantly feel calmer, more open, and feel like I'm growing. The way Kate connects with your goals and gently encourages us through each episode is so inspiring and makes me feel like I do have it in me to be a kinder, more conscious person. Love her podcast. I am so grateful for reviews like this. It honestly warms my heart to know that the podcast is having a positive impact in your day. I know that we only spend 30 or 40 minutes together each week through the podcast, but it's my hope that it's an opportunity for you to reflect, for you to learn, and ultimately for you to feel encouraged and inspired to action, because I really do believe that we can all live by design and not by default. And the responsibility to do that lies within each and every one of us. Nobody can live your life purposely for you. You have to decide that you're important enough to do that and commit to it. And I hope that this podcast helps you just take one step every day in the direction of your dreams. So A Price 7614, if you are hearing this, you are our Apple Podcasts review of the week. So shoot me an email over at kate@misskatehouse.com. That's kate@misskatehouse.com. So we can connect and I can send you snail mail with a little gift card as my thank you. And friend, if you're listening to this and the podcast has impacted your life in a positive way, big or small, I would be super grateful if you would just take 3 minutes right now, scroll down in your listening app, hit write a review, drop a 5-star rating, a short title, and just a couple of sentences about what the podcast means to you. Maybe you've shared it with a friend or a family member, or there was one episode in particular that really spoke to you. I would love to hear about it. And as my thank you, if your review is read in a future podcast episode, your next cup of coffee is on me. All right, friends. So this week's episode is about spirituality. And I'm not gonna lie, I've kind of been putting off this week's episode. And I think it's just because I have a long history with religion that I didn't choose to be part of. That wasn't a great experience. And it's taken me a really long time. I'm 31 right now as I record this, to realize for me what the difference between spirituality is and what religion is. And I want to be really careful with how I word this episode, because I absolutely respect and appreciate that religion can play an incredibly important role in many people's lives. And whether that means that you go to a mosque or you go to a church or you go to a synagogue or whatever your faith might be, I absolutely respect that. And if being part of a religion, if being part of a body of worship or whatever that looks like in your life enhances your life for the better, I think that's awesome. And to be totally frank, I'm actually a little jealous. I wish I hadn't have had a bad experience growing up in the church, because I would love the community that comes along with it. I always, always enjoyed the portion of church services when we would sing. I love singing in groups of people together. It's something that actually brings me a lot of joy, and I miss it. But at the same time, because of the experiences that I had, I can't bring myself yet to go back to a traditional church. And it was never any one thing that gave me a bad experience in my church growing up. It was just 18 years of feeling like I was constantly being told what I was or wasn't allowed to do and not given a reason why all the time. And if you know me, you know that I'm constantly asking why. I constantly want to know the reason behind something. And being told that I just had to accept things the way that they were was really difficult for me. And that's not to say that that is true of religion in general. This is just true of the experience that I had in the church I was in and in the school in which I went to, which was also a private Christian school. So while I am grateful for the experience of being raised in the church, in that I do believe I have a strong moral compass because of it, my heart for servant leadership is absolutely a result of the way that I was raised in my younger years. I think being a leader who leads by example is the greatest thing that you can do. I would rather somebody take to heart something that I say, not because I say it, but because I do it, because they see me showing up and doing it every single day and remaining committed to that, whatever it is, whether it's personal growth and development, whether it's seeking to live an active, healthy lifestyle, whether it's being a present and calm parent or an engaged parent or a partner to my husband that's loving and kind and supportive and pushes both of us to live lives of purpose. And so for that, I'm grateful to have learned the value of servant leadership. I always want to be the kind of leader within my growing company. Right now there's two of us, but I always want to be the type of leader that will do what needs to be done, whether that is cleaning a future, you know, location that we might own and operate out of one day, whether that's answering emails personally. I never want to feel like any task is too small or menial for me. I really believe that leading by example is the legacy that I want to leave. And so I'm grateful for that experience. All that to say, though, that my experience growing up in a very conservative Baptist church and school really just made me feel stifled. I think it's a big part of why I was a perfectionist for the longest time, because I felt like there were these standards to which I had to live and execute my life by, and anything less was unacceptable. And I had a really hard time, especially in school, when I got to about junior high. I was just asking questions that I wasn't able to get answers to, or not answers that were satisfactory to me at the time. And I started getting like detentions from my Bible classes when I would just ask questions. And not in a way to be difficult, but in a way that I wanted to understand. I wanted to dig deeper so that if I did accept what I was being taught as my truth, that I could fully understand and comprehend it. And I just felt like I was constantly being told what I could or couldn't do, and that there was no room for negotiation. There was no room for personal expression or individual thought. And, you know, it's funny, my husband and I were just talking recently. We weren't even talking about this topic, but he said something that really struck me. And he said that he and I, generally speaking, aren't absolutists. We're not really black and white people. I think that there's a lot of gray in life. I think there's a lot of value in seeing both sides of a conversation and seeing that there is a middle ground. And I felt like in the way that I was raised in the church and in the school that I was in, that there really wasn't much middle ground. It was either, to me, it felt like it was like a my way or the highway kind of situation. Which is probably why now as an adult, I take a lot of issue with when somebody tells me that I can or can't do something, or when somebody thinks I am incapable of achieving a dream or a goal of mine. I very much now have a like, who are you to tell me what to do mentality. Whether that's good or bad, I don't know. I think it could be a little bit of both sometimes. But my biggest takeaway was just that it left a really foul taste in my mouth. When I got to my eighth grade year in school, I decided to switch to public school starting in ninth grade. And it was a really abrupt transition from being in small, very myopic educational experiences to switch to a high school with hundreds of kids, thousands of kids of all walks of life and all religions was really eye-opening. I was a super sheltered kid. Like, I wasn't allowed to listen to quote-unquote secular music, which for anyone who wasn't raised in a super religious household, a Christian household, it's really just any music on the radio other than like your gospel stations and your Christian rock stations. Everything else was considered bad. And as somebody who loves music, it was just like, I felt like I missed out on huge cultural experiences that all my peers had, you know, listening to the Spice Girls and Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera and NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys and all of that I was interested in, but I wasn't allowed to pursue. The same happened with books. I wasn't allowed to read Harry Potter, which is crazy because Harry Potter is one of my favorite series to read. I've listened to it multiple times on Audible because Jim Dale, the narrator, is incredible, as a side note. And it's funny now because I always found ways to pursue the things that I was interested in. And these weren't things that were harmful to me in any way. And the more I was told that I wasn't allowed to do something, the more interested I became in it. The more I was like, well, why? Why can't I listen to this? What is the reason behind it? And when I wasn't given an answer that was satisfactory to me, I would just find a way to do it. And so I have a parent who isn't very religious and would buy me the CDs that I wanted to listen to and who would get me the books that I wanted to read. I have an aunt who would help get me Harry Potter books. I mean, it's so silly to think of a kid who's like, I just want to read a book and being told that they can't. And so for me, I think a big part of wanting to switch to my public school was that I realized there's a whole world out there and there's a whole world of people I want to connect with, and I want to have experiences that are vast and varied and diverse. And I wasn't getting that in my school. I wasn't getting that in my church. And going to church on Sundays and going to Bible study during the week and having chapel at school and volunteering with the younger kids later on each week, I mean, it was all consuming and I got burnt out and I just felt uninspired. And that was the first time in my life when I made a decision to just say, like, you know, this just isn't good for me right now. And that's not to say that I won't ever return to a more organized religion in the future. Certainly, it would have to be the right community. It would have to be the right leadership. It would have to be the right people. But right now in my evolution, I identify less with religion and I connect more with the idea of spirituality. And for me, the way that that manifests is, and I did a whole episode on this very early on in the podcast, is through any activity that is a flow state. Any activity where I lose sense of time and thought, and I'm just like beautifully and wonderfully in the moment. My mind isn't churning over conversations or thoughts or concerns or worries or planning things for the future or adding things to my mental to-do list. It's just an opportunity to just live. And there's something really, really beautiful in that. If you haven't listened to that episode, I'll drop a link to it below in the show notes so you can check it out. And there are a number of things that I do in order to get into this flow state. So meditating is absolutely one of those times, which is why I host these mini meditations as part of the podcast. So I hope it's an opportunity for you to feel connected to something bigger and greater than yourself. I find flow states through practicing yoga and connecting with my body and with my breath and just being present on my mat. I find flow states through running. Sometimes it sucks and sometimes my body hurts and I feel tired and sluggish, but it's an opportunity to grow, to push myself outside of my comfort zone. And oftentimes during a run, I will find my stride, I call it, like finding my stride. And that's the moment when my breath and my body are working in unison and my mind isn't wandering and I'm just running. It can happen for me when I'm journaling. It can happen when I'm cooking. It can happen when I'm painting. Oftentimes I find flow states happen not when I have like a TV show on in the background and not when I'm listening to a book or a podcast necessarily. It usually happens when I'm either alone with my thoughts, alone with my breath and my body and whatever it is I'm doing. Oftentimes too, music really helps me. And the music can change depending on what the activity is. I might be, you know, rocking out to Beyonce while I'm running or listening to like my favorite 2010s hip hop and rap songs when I run. Fun fact, I actually really like to rap. It's like a secret skill of mine. Maybe I'll share it with you sometime over on my Instagram stories. And that really gets me fired up and that gets me in the moment and helps me get into that flow state. Other times when I paint, I like to paint to like really chill music, like Corinne Bailey Rae or Norah Jones or just jazz music, like jazz piano music. Oh, just like totally gets me in the zone. And I like to cook to classical music. I grew up with my grandma always listening to classical music. It was hilarious as a kid because you'd come over to her house and the funny thing isn't that she couldn't hear very well, but the funny thing is that when she was home, she would take out her hearing aids and she would just blast her classical music. So you would come over to visit her and say like, "Hi, Grandma," and you would open the door and you would just be like assaulted with Mozart or like smacked in the face with Bach. And it's just such a fun memory for me because then, you know, she'd have to come over and turn the music down just so we could have a conversation. And so I get into a flow state when I cook and I listen to classical music and it makes me feel connected with my grandma and connected with my heritage and just connected to something greater. And so for me, that's really what spirituality is in this chapter of my life. And if you're listening to this and you do identify with a specific religion or you have found a church body or a community that supports you in this growth, friend, I want you to hear me say this. I think that's awesome. I really don't want this episode to come off as I am anti-religion. I certainly think that there are really wonderful things that can come from people being in community with each other, ways to support one another and encourage and uplift one another, which if you've listened to this podcast for any amount of time, you know that that is at the heart of my mission. And so if that helps you do that, I think that's great. And like I said before, I'm honestly like a little jealous. I really wish that my experiences when I was younger didn't color where I am right now. And that probably means I need to do some more therapy. That probably means I need to journal about it more. It probably means that I need to think through this in a more deep way. But honestly, I'm really content with where I am. And maybe contentment means that I'm not growing, but in the season of life that I'm in, with how difficult this season has been in particular, sometimes I just need something that is familiar and something that's comfortable. And honestly, something that's working for me. It's not that I don't have spiritual practice, it's just that it looks different than what it looked like when I was younger and I was told what it was supposed to look like. And now I think it's just an expression of what works for me. And I think there is something really beautiful that is in that, in embracing where you are in the moment and being open to that changing in the future. If I found the right community to be part of, I would absolutely be open to that. And if my kids grow up and they want to go to church or synagogue or anywhere, I'll take them and I will sit with them and support them and let them go on their journey. But I feel really strongly about not forcing them into something. I remember as a kid growing up expressing that I didn't want to go to church and expressing that I didn't want to be involved in all these extracurricular church-related activities and expressing that I wanted to go to public school. And I was met with a lot of resistance to that. And so that just bred a lot of discontent and maybe even a little bit of resentment. And I don't want to do that to my kids. I want them to have the opportunity to explore. And I don't say any of this to blame anybody. I think when you raise kids, especially, you're doing the best with what you have at the time that you're at, with the resources available to you. And so I don't regret any of these experiences. I think they have very much informed who I am today. And I'm grateful for that because where I am right now is a really good place to be. And so, friends, I realize that this isn't particularly insightful when it comes to spirituality, but I just wanted to share my story with you. I believe that in storytelling, we can connect with one another. We can see ourselves in somebody else's story. And I feel really strongly that there's a lot that I learned being raised the way that I was in that church, in that school, in those schools. Actually, there were two. And while I don't plan on continuing that with my own kids, I am grateful for the lessons that I learned, and I'm open to going new and different directions. I am actually super excited to share next week's episode with you, where I sat down and had a conversation with Wendy Battles, who hosts the Reinvention Rebels podcast. If you haven't checked it out yet, I will link to it below. Wendy is an incredible woman. She is strong and bold and fierce, and her podcast is all about empowering women, especially those in their 50s and 60s and 70s and beyond, to be a reinvention rebel, to reinvent themselves at any age, to do what it is that is on their heart to do. And I first connected with Wendy through Instagram. A couple of people now that have been on the podcast are just friends that I've made online. And it's crazy because Wendy and I actually both did our health coach training through IIN, and we started listening to one another's podcasts and started, you know, connecting. And then we had this conversation and I asked her onto the podcast and gave her a couple of different topics to choose from the circle of life. And she selected spirituality. And the cool thing was, I really wanted to go into that conversation not having any preconceived notions. And so Wendy, in this next episode that you'll hear, shares her experience of growing up in the church and eventually her path to becoming a Buddhist. And it, for me, was just this really validating conversation to have, that we can find new ways to explore spirituality. We can find new ways to connect with others, to be part of something bigger than ourselves. And my conversation with Wendy, I feel like, really highlighted that and highlighted her message of reinvention, that you can continue to grow and evolve and change over time, and to do it with swagger. Wendy is just one of the coolest people. Guys, I'm so excited to bring that conversation to you. And all that to say that it's important to me that you hear where I come from when it comes to spirituality and where I am on my journey. And to be totally honest, I'm definitely interested in Buddhism. As somebody who has friends who are Buddhists, as somebody who has read many books about Buddhism, it's been an interest of mine for many years and might be something that I pursue down the road. Who knows? But right now, my life is kind of at capacity, and so I'm not currently seeking anything else to add in that department. Right now, I'm really just focusing on our upcoming move this summer. I'm focusing on the podcast and the business and my masterclass that's coming out this spring and updating my website. And oh God, speaking of spirituality and connecting with something bigger, I cannot wait this summer to start running on the road where we're moving. We moved to a road that is exactly 1 mile. And if you have followed me on Instagram or over on my personal account for any amount of time, you know that my very favorite run to do is 1 mile out and 1 mile back. And I love it because it's stupid easy. Like, you can't overthink it. You literally turn right, you run for a mile, you get to the end of the road, and you come home. And the hardest part, as I discussed in an episode with Alice Havel all about physical activity, is just getting out the door. And so if you just lower the barriers to entry, you just make it as easy as possible for yourself to go, you're more likely to do it, and you're more likely to do it every day. And for me, those moments of flow, those moments where I'm connected to something bigger and greater than myself, I'm connected to nature and my breath and to just this overwhelming sense that everything is connected in some way, even if I can't fully articulate it, I do that through running. And so I do think this summer my spiritual practice will continue through those flow states, through running in our new neck of the countryside. And we've moved to a place that it's the first place I will ever live that is just stunning. I've lived in a lot of suburbs, which are awesome. I love the suburbs and all that they have to offer. But my husband and I recently realized that we are small town people who've been living in busy suburbs for the last decade. And so this is the first time I'm living somewhere where out of every single window is a view of just nature and land and just the most expansive skies. In the same way that when you're at the beach and you just see the ocean stretch on and on and on, that's how I feel in Gettysburg, especially where we're moving to. But it's the sky. The sky just goes on and on and on. And in nature, for me, is where I find that flow state oftentimes. And it's where I feel connection. And it's where I feel a part of something special. And I can't wait to practice that when we move. Hey friend, I hope you're enjoying this special series centered on the Institute for Integrative Nutrition's Circle of Life exercise. If you haven't yet done this exercise yourself, I would absolutely recommend that you do so. I'll link to it below in the show notes here. It's totally free to do. It'll take you probably 2 minutes and then you'll get to see your results right away. And it's this beautiful pie chart that has 12 different colors and the 12 sections all represented, and it will show you your results really quickly and really easily. And if you do this exercise and you're a little surprised by where you're at right now, or maybe you identified a section where you're like, you know what, I really do need to be more intentional with my health. I need to be more intentional with my physical activity or my cooking or my joy or my social life or whatever it might be, I would love to help you, friend. If you're listening to this and you're ready to take your commitment to yourself and your commitment to living by design to the next level, then having a health coach might just be the next perfect step for you. I'd love to schedule a free 50-minute call with you where we can discuss your health history and just really what some of the pain points may be for you right now. And usually just over the course of this conversation, I can identify 2 or 3 areas that sounds like you really might want to focus our time together during our 6-month health coaching program. The thing I love about this program is 6 months is enough time for you to make some really tangible shifts and changes in your life towards a healthier and happier and more joy-filled life. Some of the things that I love to do with my clients is this circle of life exercise. We'll do it 3 times throughout the program, once at the beginning as an evaluation point, once in the middle to check in, and once again at the end. Other things I like to do is to help my clients implement a gratitude practice, because I think a ton of joy can be found in practicing gratitude every single day. And then above and beyond that, I really leave it up to you. I've worked with clients to work on routines in the morning and in the evenings. I've worked with clients to help establish a physical activity routine and to become the type of person that identifies with being physically active, with making their health a priority. I've helped people who are just overwhelmed with work and life responsibilities refocus on themselves and make themselves a priority again after a season of life where they had to give a lot of themselves to other people. And so all that to say, friend, if any of this resonates with you and you're interested in connecting with me, just scroll down in your listening app right now or head over to my website at misskatehouse.com/healthcoaching. But basically, we'll meet online every other week for 6 months and we'll talk about you and your life. And I will be somebody there who will keep you accountable to your goals. I will be somebody there to guide you and to motivate you and encourage you. And I will be your number one hype girl the entire time. But ultimately, the success of the program resides in you and your commitment to yourself. And I say it on the podcast all the time, but you can't pour from an empty vessel. So if you're listening to this, friend, and you feel a little empty, you feel like you need to pour into yourself again, then just schedule a free consult. I'd love to chat with you and just see if we would be a good fit for one another. And if so, we could start our coaching relationship and get the ball rolling towards a more purposeful, a more joy-filled, a more gratitude-filled life where you're truly living by design and not default. Welcome to Joyful Corner, my opportunity each week to share with you something that's brought me joy or an experience I'm grateful to have had. So this week, I alluded a little bit to my Joyful Corner in that it is related to my social part of my circle of life exercise. Right now, we're living in these really cute townhomes before we move into our new home this summer. And a neighbor just a few doors down from me has kids right around the same age. They're of similar ages to us. And we actually have a ton in common, and this new friend of mine and I we're trying to once a week, but you know, we both have little kids, so sometimes it's every other week, but we're doing these socially distanced dates at night where we just sit in our folding chairs on her driveway and drink wine and eat snacks and just talk. And it happens after bedtime, and if you know me, you know that I am a big fan of going to bed early, but I have been missing in-person social life for so long that last night we stayed up until like 11:20 or something crazy like that, just sitting on our driveway is talking. And it fills me with so much appreciation for this new friend. It fills me with so much gratitude to just be able to talk with somebody in person other than the humans I live with every single day. And it really does like fill my cup. It really makes me just feel alive. I leave this time together. It's like the latest I stay up every week and I'm like energized by it. I come inside and I'm like, oh man, like I really need to go to bed because it's way later than I normally go to sleep. But I'm like jazzed on life right now. And those are the moments when I know like, oh yeah, this needs my joyful corner this week, because I just feel lighter and brighter after getting to spend time with a new friend. So I'm super grateful for that this week. And over and above that, I have been making a lot of design decisions for our new home. So when we get access to the home, when the sellers who are renting it back from us move out, we're actually going to take a month and do some updates to the home before we move in. I'm really grateful to have the resources to do so. I'm also really grateful for the opportunity to make a home that's super reflective of the four of us. And we're doing that through flooring and through paint and just putting our own touches on the home. And as somebody who is a fine arts major and somebody that's really aesthetics really impact me, I'm just having the best time choosing just these little moments for our home, these little textures and colors and light fixtures and doorknobs and all the kind of stuff that maybe would be stressful to somebody or make somebody feel like bogged down. These are the kind of things, the kinds of projects I love. I love taking a bunch of small components and turning it into something beautiful. And I'm really enjoying that too. So this week I am just really grateful for this new friend. And I'm also just really grateful that in less than a month's time, we'll have access to our home and we can really start making it our own. Friends, thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. If this episode spoke to you, I would be super grateful if you would first follow me on Instagram at Live by Design Podcast. I'll link to it below in the show notes so you can just pop over there and hit follow if you aren't already. But more importantly than that, I care less about you following me and I care more about starting a conversation with you, starting a dialogue with you. I love hosting the podcast and I say week after week that the podcast is very much a one-way conversation and this podcast is my love letter to you, friend. And so I want to get to know you. I want to connect and find out what your life is like and what is going well and where are the struggles and how can I use this podcast to support you and to encourage you. And so once you follow me, drop a comment on a recent photo or pop into my DMs. I personally oversee my social media accounts for the Live by Design podcast. So when somebody responds to you, it's me. And likely I'm responding to you from my couch with two toddlers sitting on my lap and they're watching Blippi for like the fourth time that morning. And so I would just love to know who you are and what you're all about and connect with you further, friend. And if you haven't yet signed up to know when my masterclass, the Live by Design Goal Setting Masterclass, becomes available this summer, you can do so below by following the link in the show description or going to my website at misskatehouse.com/masterclass. And all you have to do is drop your name and your email address, and then you'll be in my email list and you'll be the first to know when the course becomes available to purchase. I'm even going to offer a special week where the course will be its most deeply discounted price that I will ever offer it. It'll be called the Founding Members Price. And when you buy a course from me, you get it for the lifetime of the course. So I plan on launching this course a number of times. So with each iteration, each time I grow the course or I make the content a little bit deeper and richer, you will always have access to that. But this founding member's price will only be available this first time. And so you will be the first to know when that becomes available. And you will also be the first to know when the course is about to close, when you have to sign up or you will miss out. And as my thank you to you, friend, for expressing your interest and for letting me know that you want to be a part of the course potentially, as soon as you drop your name and your email address in the form on my website, you will get an email from me, and in that email is a mini motivational meditation that I just want to send you as a thank you. It's just 10 to 12 minutes for you to just pause your day, to come back in line with yourself. And I used a Young Pueblo poem in that meditation that I think will really inspire you to just live intentionally in 2021. So again, friends, if you haven't yet, follow me on Instagram, join the waitlist for the masterclass, and I just cannot wait to see where we grow this community this year. Be sure to tune in next week for my conversation with Wendy Battles of the Reinvention Rebels podcast. I will link to her show below as well so you can check her out ahead of time because her episodes are incredible. And until next time, friends, spread some joy, make someone smile.